Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, let's get us going to 2 Samuel this morning, chapter 22, 1 through 4, and also 48 to 51 in the same chapter. Okay, here we go. And then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies." Keep that in mind when you're going through stuff during the week, okay? Then we go to 48. "It is God who avenges me, subdues the people under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. He is the tower of salvation to his king, and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore." Remember those things. He said David is a man after his own heart. So, you know, things like this, what you're running into during the week, just touch base with the Lord. He's there. He's available. Bow ahead and join me in praise and prayer this morning. Dear Lord, you're an awesome God, Father God. So we are, just no word to explain, you know. You're such an awesome God, so we lift you up, Father God. We thank you for who you are this morning and what you're doing in our lives, because those tests will come, and like we've always said, it will be a way of life. Those things are happening. A lot of things are going on, and I'm sure you'll see enough or even more this year. So be ready. That's in the Word, in prayer, effectual fervent prayer, righteous man avails much. And we ask you, Lord, to continue to work in our hearts, our minds. Be ready on a daily basis. You know, you are the potter with the clay, and you haven't stopped forming and shape us into the man and woman of God we're supposed to be for your glory, for your kingdom. That army we're building on right now that needs to continue to be ongoing prayer. Those are essential. It's really needy right now. And those people that are hurting out there, may be in a conversation with a lot of people out there in the world. And they've heard you speak, and they might come back to you. Be ready. In and out of season, the Lord says. So those type of things, and it's generating all over this world, a lot of things going on. And we know, we see it, we hear it. Now, from all the times we've taken in ear gates and eye gates, we need to continue to be prepared back in the Word again today to get that peace that surpasses all understanding. We've got to maybe that point be simmered down, so to speak, you know, and just be calm, be at peace with the Lord, with people around you, because I know things like this, it comes against our spirit, and sometimes we do battle. The thing is, too, we've already won the war, and we remember that. It says in the end we do, in Revelation, but the thing is, be familiarized with the things. God's going to bring scripture up to your mind. Use them. He's helping us. He's asking you to receive different situations in your life. People you work with, they're looking at you. Your children are looking at you. See how you're dealing with these situations at hand. Because they even come home here in the schools. You know, situations, it's a mess everywhere. In everything and anything. So who's the one that starts a day with the Lord? And how do we end it with him too? Praying as a family, or individually, on the way to work, on the way back from work, whatever, at night, before you go to bed, things like that, just to get that peace in you so you can sleep soundly, that type of thing, to be refreshed when we need refreshing, those times during break times or lunch hours or stuff like that, ongoing stuff in your life, and deal with it with the Lord. He wants to hear from you. You know, when he marked our steps, he said, "I've been down here on earth, and I've done everything." I'm paraphrasing. Everything we'll ever come in contact with. He's been through that already. He knows, and he knows everything about you. He knows what makes you tick, so to speak. So he's the one to come to. So we lift you up, Father God. We thank you again for what you're doing. We thank you for being there when we need you and who you are to us. Thing that you are the way, the truth, the life. And nobody comes to the Father but through you. So we thank you for, again, what you're doing. We love you, Lord, this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And if you would, open with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Beginning at verse 16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that this message will be clear to each one of us. Your message, not mine. Your word, not mine. Your power, not mine. Jesus, I ask you to take this broken vessel and fill it with your word. And each broken vessel that is here, and we're all broken, that your word will pour into us so that it can flow from us to others. Jesus, have your way with me. Have your way with us. Speak to us this morning, Lord. We desperately need you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I've been wrestling with this message for 3 weeks now. The last 2 weeks I was going to preach it, and for some reason it didn't work out. And I said last week, this week I'm going to preach it. Because it's just been burning inside of me. This letter written by Peter, it's his second letter that he wrote. This one he wrote to the faithful bondservants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a bondservant of the Lord this morning?
I am.
Then this letter is for you. All right, specifically for you. It is to those who have obtained like precious faith. Have you obtained the like precious faith that Peter is talking about? Do you have the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Do you have faith in him and what he accomplished on the cross? Do you have faith in him, the fact that he has never left you and he will not forsake you? That he dwells within your heart if you have received him as Lord and Savior?
Amen.
Yet that's just a given, all right? And I know this is Christianity 101. But this is the fact. This is what he says here. To those who have obtained like precious faith. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. And then he says, you know, how do you know if you're a partaker of that like precious faith? Well, he lines it out in verse 4. In verse 5 and 6. He says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith that like precious faith, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. What Peter is saying here is be maturing in the things of the Lord.
Right.
Every single one of us, we never get to a, sometimes we'll get to a plateau. You ever get to that plateau and you figure like it's, Like, I just can't get any deeper. I can't get any further. Well, what God is doing is he's making you dig a little harder. Because those who have like precious faith, it's not always easy to grow in the Lord.
Right.
I went to Bible school, and the Bible school I went to, we did 94 credit hours in 1 year.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. And I never graduated from high school. I was one of those stupid ones that quit before I graduated, and I quit in my senior year. Then I go to Bible school when I was 30, I think 32 or 34 years old. I had no study habits, no nothing. And they said, oh, by the way, here, this is what you're going to do just this semester. And they piled the stuff on me, and I went, ugh. I had to work hard to grow in the things that they wanted to teach me. And let me tell you something this morning. God is not looking for a warrior that is a sap. He's looking for a warrior that's strong.
That's right.
Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, he tells us in his word in Ephesians 6.
Right.
Do you want to be strong in the Lord?
Yes.
Do you want to be strong in his power?
Yes.
Do you want to be strong in his might?
Yes.
That doesn't come easy. It takes a man or a woman that's willing to work at it, to dig in here. That's why he said that giving all diligence, add to that faith, that virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, self-control, perseverance to perseverance, godliness to godliness, brotherly kindness to brotherly kindness, love. Peter, I always get Peter and Paul mixed up. Peter had a sense of urgency. I want you to read this letter that Peter wrote, the second Peter, and read it with a sense of urgency. That he knew that he was getting close to the end of his life on this earth. But he also knew that didn't mean life was going to end for him. But he did say in verse 13, he said, yes, I think it right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off that tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease, after I'm left here, after I leave you. I'm leaving this letter, and 1 Peter as well. I'm leaving it for you because I want you to understand these things. I'm leaving it for you so that you can study it, so that you can learn from it, so that you can grow from it. Because God is not looking for a people that are weak and beggarly. He's looking for a people that are strong and mighty in him. He's looking for a warrior folk, a warrior people. What did David do when he faced Goliath? He didn't go, oh, no, look at him. He's so big and I'm so little. That's nothing I can do. All I got here is a little slingshot. No, he looked at David with a warrior spirit. And he went to Goliath with a warrior spirit. And what did he say? He said, you come to me with a sword and a javelin, a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. Why? Because the name of the Lord is over anything you've got to throw at me.
Right.
And I'm telling you right now, I'm going to take you down. I'm going to cut your head off.
Amen.
You figure, yeah. Goliath, 9 foot tall, and he's standing there looking at this little shrimp going, what are you, stupid? No, I'm not. You see, God's looking for a people.
Right.
When the enemy comes in like a flood, that he will raise up a standard. That standard is a person that's willing to say, I will bank on the name of the Lord Jesus
right.
Christ over anything that the enemy has to throw at me.
Because
he can throw all of his mighty, and they're mighty, weapons at me. But all I need is a stone from the Lord, and I can take him out. That's what Jesus said when he looked at Peter. He said, Peter, okay, Peter, who you say that I am? Peter said, you are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And what did Jesus say to Peter? He said, Simon, I'm not going to call you Peter. The rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He's not saying to himself, Peter, you're the rock. He wasn't saying, Peter, you're the rock. What he was saying is that the revelation that God has given you is what I'm building my church on.
Amen.
Do you understand this morning that God wants you to have a revelation from Him?
Amen. Yes. Praise God.
But not just a new word, because there is nothing new. God's word is yea and amen, as written. Because the scripture that... Now, I'm going to get to in a few minutes. In verse 20, it says, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. It's not of any private origin. God's Word comes from God, period.
Amen.
And we need to learn from it. And we need to grow in it. And Peter's saying, it's like, I have a sense of urgency that I just need to let you know these things so that you will grow in them, so that you will be strong in Him and you not fail. That you not be destroyed. I've seen Christians destroyed by the enemy. Because they bowed down and took it.
Right.
Rather than stood up and fight against it. Fighting against is not easy.
No, it is.
And it can wear you down and it can wear you out. And sometimes you need to pull back out of the battle and take a time of rest. But then after that rest, you get back into the battle. Peter goes on to say in verse 16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. We were eyewitnesses of His majesty. We saw it. We saw it. You know, in a court of law, the best evidence you can have is an eyewitness that saw it happen. And that's what Peter is saying here. We're eyewitnesses. We're not following cunningly devised fables. And it's interesting to note that that word cunningly devised fables speaks of a sinister wisdom given in a tale, in a story. Sinister wisdom. We're not following sinister wisdom. When we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses to His majesty. They were eyewitnesses to this. Look with me in Matthew chapter 17. In Matthew chapter 17. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, His brother, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. And He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and His clothes became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with Him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, he was doing it this way, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Because he was like overwhelmed. If you wish, let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. Now remember, Peter said back in 2 Peter, we were eyewitnesses. This is where he was eyewitnesses. We read this. Do we really read it and look at it for the fullness of what it is? What is being told here? Where it says, now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, His brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And He was transfigured. Have you ever stopped and allow your imagination to kind of to zero in on that? Jesus was transfigured. And we read it as and it says, and His face shone like the sun, and His clothes became as white as the light. You know, I could read that and go, you know, it looked like Jesus walked over and plugged Himself into a wall socket and just went, you know, and lit up. But that's not what this is saying. What this is saying is that Jesus, in front of Peter and James and John, was glorified back into that fullness of being God. And Peter, James, and John were eyewitnesses to not seeing Jesus just in His power of doing miracles and signs and wonders, but they saw Him as the true God he is.
Right.
He was just, and Peter and James and John were blown away by it. Let me tell you, people, if Jesus, if God was to manifest himself in here, we'd be blown away. It would be beyond what you and I could even imagine or even think. And here, Jesus was transfigured. And as he was transfigured before them, a voice from the Father came from the clouds and said these very words. He says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." But then he said two words that Peter didn't quote. He said, "Hear him. Hear him."
Right.
And the word "hear" means to be obedient. Hear and obey. Him. Him, Jesus. I pray, God, I want to see you. I want to see you deeper ways. I want to see you more magnificent ways. And this is what he's saying right here. This is what how Jesus was appeared to Peter and to James and to John. And that's why James and Peter can say here, we are eyewitnesses, not of just Jesus, the man that walked with us. Not just Jesus, the man that laid hands upon the sick and they recovered. Not the Jesus that spoke to Lazarus' grave and said, "Lazarus, come forth," and Lazarus was resurrected from the dead. But we are eyewitnesses of his majesty, which is far beyond anything we had ever seen before. And when you have an eyewitness to something as glorifying as this, we will be smart to listen to the one who saw what he saw. For he, Jesus, received from God the Father honor and glory. When such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You see, God the Father established honor and glory on Jesus at that moment. And honor, glory, and glory, simply the two words mean value and high esteem. God the Father gave great value to Jesus in honoring him and great esteem. And he said to James and John and Peter, "Hear him." And he's saying to you and he's saying to me down through the ages. That's why Peter said that I'm writing these things, that you have a reminder of these things after I'm gone. And now Peter's gone. He's home with the Lord, but he's gone from here. And he's saying, read this, listen to it, because I am eyewitness. And this is what he has done. This, and God the Father gave him great honor and great esteem. Then he said, "This is my beloved Son." He's saying this right down the ages to now. "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." Are you hearing the voice of the Lord this morning? Are you hearing what God is saying? Because I believe that this message is tailored for each and every one of us. You, Don, are going to hear it differently than Rob will. Rob, you're hearing it differently than Sherry will. Sherry, you're hearing it differently than I will. Why? Because it's the living word of God. But I believe here that God is challenging each and every one of us to please get with the program. The title of this message is, "This is how we roll." Yes. Men, we were in the men's meeting Wednesday night, and Tony, last name, Tony Evans, thank you. He ended the teaching with saying, "And men, this is how we roll." And you remember, I said, I even wrote it down. This is so cool. So I got to have a message that's going to entitle that someday. And then when I was going through this, I said, I used the same message for 3 weeks to preach this message, and I haven't got to preach it yet. So I'm getting tired of that title, so I just put it in this title, "This is how we roll." And this is how we should roll. This is how we should walk. This is how we should behave. This is how we need to lead our lives. And knowing that he is the majesty.
Yes.
And that majesty came to us in the form of a son. And we behold his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. Why? Because of the power. Do you understand the power of God this morning? I want to give a little bit of a demonstration on that word picture. All right. In the Bible, there are three major words that are translated power. One is dunamis. What word do we get from dunamis?
Dynamite.
Beg your pardon? And dynamic. We'll work with dunamis today, with the dynamite today. The second word is exousia. Do you know what exousia means? It means power, but it also is more translated as authority. Then you have kratos. Kratos says the mighty power, or the power of God released. So now, anybody ever been pulled over by a police officer? So have I. Now, I understand police officers with my past. You have a police officer that walks up to you. What you have in this man is dunamis. All right? He's like a stick of dynamite. Dunamis. Now, as he kind of bends over to look at you and say, ma'am or sir, do you know how fast you were going? There's this shiny silver thing that kind of is pinned to his chest that flashes in your eyes. Right? That's called a badge. You know what that badge represents? Exousia, authority. Right? With no badge, that man got no authority. Now, I argue with him. And I'm telling you right now, and I have done that with police officers, and I'll tell you right now, it will not come out well for you. Take my word for it. Sir, would you step out of the car, please? Would you turn over and put your hands on the hood of the car? Oh, no. As they pat me down, then he takes one arm, goes like this, takes the other arm, goes like this, and those nice, shiny silver bracelets go clicked onto your wrists. You know what that is? That's Kratos' power. The dunamis power of that man has great authority because of the badge that he wears. And because of that badge, he has the power to arrest you, to release that dunamis and exousia power to where it's Kratos' power, and now you are totally in his control. Amen?
Amen.
Now, let's take this and make it a little more spiritual. We have God the Father. God the Father, dunamis power. Because see, without dunamis, you can't really have authority and you can't release that power, Kratos, without the dunamis power. So God the Father, dunamis. God the Son is exousia. Didn't Jesus say, all authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. Now go and make disciples of all nations. So all exousia, all power, all authority has been given to Jesus. Now Jesus tells his disciples, it is fitting for me to go to the Father so that the Holy Spirit can come. Why do you need the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit contains the Kratos power. The power of dunamis God that rests in the authority of Jesus. Jesus is the one that sends the Holy Spirit to us, and the Holy Spirit releases his power on this earth.
Right.
So have anybody ever been healed of the Lord?
Yep.
Amen. You know what happened? The Kratos power of God was released upon you, and you were healed. And this is what Peter is saying here. He says, "For we do not, verse 16, for we do not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power, and that's dunamis power, and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We were eyewitnesses of his power. We were eyewitnesses of his authority. We were eyewitnesses of the release of his power on this earth. We were eyewitnesses of all this. Please believe us. Because our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And everything that they experienced and everything they saw is for the believer in this day and in this age. What we need is a church. We need a body of believers that's really, really going to hunger for it.
Right.
I do not want anything to get in my way of my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and his majesty.
That's right.
Verse 17, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice, verse 18, which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. We are giving direct testimony of this. Even John wrote about it. If you turn to 1 John chapter 1, which is just a couple of pages over from where we are. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, containing the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness. Here's John saying, we're eyewitnesses of this. And bear witness, declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Hallelujah. We're writing this to you so that your joy will be full. We're writing this to you so that you will understand the truth of what we're saying. When you read those scriptures, you're reading not a book that contains truth. You're reading truth.
Right.
You're reading it. But Pontius Pilate, he said, what is truth? And yet the truth, was standing right there next to him. Verse 19, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. So we have the prophetic word confirmed. And I'll tell you, I went to some different writings on trying to clarify what that says with various authors. And you know what I came to the conclusion? I came to the conclusion, not from what others had wrote, but just what I believe this is saying. The prophetic word confirmed. You know what the prophetic word is? Jesus. What does John, the book of John, start out with? Look with me, John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, it says, in the beginning, say in the beginning, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Hallelujah. We have this prophetic word confirmed. Jesus Christ himself is that prophetic word. From Genesis right through to Malachi, there are prophecy after prophecy after prophecy about the coming Messiah. There's prophecy after prophecy that Jesus fulfilled.
That's right.
So if you want to know what the prophetic word is, you look to Jesus, because he's the one who fulfilled it all.
That's right.
That's why when he hung on the cross, he didn't say, it is finished, saying, I'm done. I ain't doing this no more. You know, I quit. I'm just going to die and get and end this pain. No, he said it is finished. Why? Because while he was hanging on that cross, he was fulfilling every single prophecy that was ever spoken about him.
Right.
And Peter is saying here, we have that prophetic word confirmed.
Right.
It's confirmed. People say, how do you know that Jesus really is real? How do you know that Christianity is really real? Well, I'll tell you how I know, because number one, he dwells in my heart, but I also want to share with you some things about his apostles. Because nobody is going to die for a lie. Nobody's going to put their life on the line for a cunningly devised fable. Andrew, the brother of Peter, was martyred by crucifixion. He hung alive for 2 days, exhorting spectators all the while he was hanging on that cross. He was preaching. Bartholomew, which is Nathaniel, martyrdom by being skinned alive, crucified head downward by the idolaters of Armenia. James the Greater, the son of Zebedee, brother of John, beheaded or stabbed with a sword by Herod Agrippa around 44 AD. James the Lesser, son of Alphaeus, was first bishop of Jerusalem, martyred in the early 90s by being thrown from a pinnacle on the Temple of Jerusalem, then stoned and head bashed with a club. John, the beloved son of Zebedee, brother of James, natural death, the only one had a natural death when he was banished to the isle called Patmos, but tradition says he was also, before that, was boiled in oil and they couldn't kill him. Jude, Thaddeus, wrote the book Jude, martyred by being beaten with a club, then crucified 72 AD in the city of Edessa. Matthew, martyred about 60 AD by being staked and speared to the ground, preached the gospel in Ethiopia and was killed for questioning the morals of the king. It goes on and on and on. Simon Peter was crucified at Rome by Nero. He was crucified around 68 AD, upside down at his request because he did not consider himself worthy to be crucified like Jesus was. So he was crucified upside down. Simon the Canaanite, called the Zealot, because of his association with that sect, thought it have ministered mostly in Jordan, martyred by crucifixion in Britain, 74 AD, and then he was sawn in half. Thomas, doubting Thomas, martyred, thrust through by a spear in India, preached the gospel in Parthia and Kerala, southern India, where yet today Marthoma Church exists. And I can go on and on. I've got a list of 16 men. All eyewitnesses. And all died a martyr's death. Not one. Not one of them denied Jesus. Because every single one of them, if they had denied Jesus, the crucifixion or the persecution, should I say, would have stopped. And not one of them. Why? Because they were eyewitnesses of what Jesus did for them. And many of them were right there and watched him die on the cross. Helpless. Hopeless. But when Jesus came back, when he was resurrected from the dead, even Thomas came up to him and looked at him and fell down and just cried out, "Oh my Lord, my God." And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, you see and you believe. How much more of those who do not see yet will believe? And believe because of the testimony that is given in the Word to who Jesus is." Are you hearing the testimony of God this morning?
Amen.
Is your faith being strengthened this morning? Because you see, this was all laid out by Peter to prepare them for the teachings he's going to bring on the destructive doctrines that were infiltrating the church. And in order to stand against those doctrines, they had to be strong.
That's right.
So he's building strength in them first, and then he's going to lay this out, which is we'll get into next week. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture, verse 20, is of any private interpretation. Listen to me, please. I'm going to wrap it up with this. Don't listen to somebody who tells you they've got some special revelation. Because that will always end up leading to where that person is more important than Jesus. And when that happens, what you have is someone preaching another Jesus. And it happens in the church. We can see it through the ages. It's why it's so important to know what the Word of God is. Then you will discern when somebody's coming at you with a private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. I do believe that God moves in fresh ways in this day and age. I believe that God does use men and women to pen understanding and revelation of His written word. I believe that. But you will never find something that is ordained by God that will violate or contradict what is written right here. Never. And if someone says, well, it may not go well, quite along with the scriptures, but this is a special revelation that God has given me, you hightail it and run from that one.
Amen. It's right.
Or be bold and stand in His face and say, that is not of God.
Right.
John the Baptist did. Cost him his life. So what you're doing is not of God. Elijah stood in the face of kings. So what you're doing is not of God. We need people that are bold to be able to say that. You say it in love, but you have to say it. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And all the writings that we have from Genesis to Revelation is all God's word, prophetically speaking, of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Right.
Our Lord and our Savior. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word. And Lord, build within us, Lord, as Peter was instructing the ones he wrote this letter to, he's building strength into them. Building understanding into them so they can stand strong against false teachings. Lord, I pray You build that in us. I pray, Father, as you have called me to teach, to preach, that I be careful not to give anything and say, thus saith the Lord, if You didn't say it. That Your word that comes from this pulpit, whether it's me or anyone else, will truly be a thus saith the Lord. Peter said that he and the other apostles were eyewitnesses of Your majesty. Oh God, how much I want to see Your majesty. And I thank You, Lord, according to Your word, there will be a day I will see it. Lord, for each one of us, that we will purpose to lead lives that truly will bring honor and glory to You. As Jesus, You've received honor and glory from the Father. That You will receive honor and glory through our life and how we live our lives. And that we will come to that day that we will hear You say to us, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And Lord, I know that there's things that the enemy throws out at us. That temptations that if we fall to, we'll put a block between us and You. Lord, I pray for myself and I pray for this congregation that You strengthen us, Lord, to resist the devil, that he will flee from us. But we can only resist him to the degree that we're submitted to you.
That's right.
So Lord, help us to submit to you. And to cry out to you. Every day, we need you. We need you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Let's stand. And if you need prayer, feel free to come up. But may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
That's right.
And I'm going to ask you to, as you receive that blessing, that you would bow your head. And I'm going to pray over you. Then I'm going to just pray a prayer of salvation that you can pray along with me if you so desire. So Lord, I do pray over this congregation. God, that you reveal yourself to each person in a very unique, private way. That we can, even as the scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that finds refuge in you. So Lord, I pray that there will be ones who will find refuge in you through this message, through your word, and through your presence in this place. So if you'd like to pray with me, then just pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I need you desperately. Come into my heart. I open my heart up and I ask you to please come in. Take residence in my heart. I receive you now as my Lord and as my Savior. I am now born again because of what you've done for me on the cross. I confess my sins. I repent of those sins. As I turn away from them, I turn to you. From whence comes my help? My help comes from you, Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. Thank you, Jesus, for my salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Lord. I commit my life to you, and I receive your life for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.